Thank you for joining us wherever you are. This podcast episode is brought to you by the Old Ways Actual Play Team. This actual play uses the 7th edition Call of Cthulhu tabletop role-playing game rules by Chaosium. This actual play is performed by adults and in an adult setting. While we try very hard to stick to language for all ages, listeners should know that this podcast may include mature themes. All content, including names, places, events, companies, and etc., that may bear resemblance to entities living or dead, is strictly coincidental. My name is Michael Diamond, and for tonight's game, I will be your keeper. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of the Old Ways Podcast. I'm your keeper, Keeper Michael, and we return to Horror on the Orient Express, where we join our investigators in Act 4. And so, at the top of the show, as we always like to do, we like to thank you, our listener, and you, the Patreon supporter. And we hope that you have enjoyed the show so far. If you have enjoyed it to the point where you would be willing and interested in supporting us, you can. Patreon.com/TheOldWaysPodcast. And come join us. When last we left our investigators, we left them in the cold city of Trieste. We left them at a crime scene where the body of a priest had been brutally murdered. And in his blood-soaked garments, one James Robert Fraser had been arrested by Italian police and several black shirts and hauled off to jail. The group, even though they were well-armed for a potential conflict, decided that it was the better part of valor to step back and to attempt to solve the situation in a different way. 5 days have passed. In these 5 days, several things may or may not have happened. We're going to learn about them very shortly. And so I'll start the introductions with the man at my right.
Hello, this is Mike, and I'm playing James Robert Fraser, who is currently languishing in the cell of the Trieste police force.
Yes. Yes, indeed. We'll get to you very, very soon. And to Mr. Fraser's right.
Hi, I'm Rena. I play Lady Elizabeth Fitzroy, and I need to plan a jailbreak. Not really my cup of tea, but somebody has to do it.
Indeed. At the end of the table.
Hi, this is Giles, and I'm playing Simon Griffith, and I will be casing the joint, as the verbiage may be.
It certainly could be. To Mr. Griffith's right.
Hi, this is Miranda, and I play Maggie Bellinger, and perhaps I could bake some sort of file into a cake.
Sounds fantastic. Last but certainly not least.
I'm Martin, and I'm playing Richard Courtney. And perhaps Richard can find out what's going on by using the device and, I don't know, peering behind the wall.
That's quite an interesting suggestion. Perhaps we'll get to it. So, we raise the curtain tonight in a deep, dark place. And that darkness surrounds but one person. And that person is Mr. Fraser, who has, for the 5th night in a row, slept at the bottom of a cell. There is no bed proper. There is but a few collected sheets on a mostly smoothed floor. The walls themselves are hewn stone here, apart from the iron bars and pen.
Do I have a window?
A slight one. A very, very slight one.
And how have they been treating me?
I think the best way to say it would be to say that they've barely been treating you at all. For the most part, you have been left in here alone. Even though there are multiple cells, you have been left to your solace.
I spend water 2 or 3 times a day. Comes with your meals, which is mostly
bread and cheese or something like that.
It's bread, a bit of cheese. There's even some fish, but it's not much.
I guess I'll be pacing up and down the cell. I take it nobody has really spoken to me. Any requests I've made to speak to somebody who speaks English have just been ignored. Is that a fair assumption?
It is a fair assumption, but to be clear on the space that you have, sir, it is a 4x6 cell. There is not an awful lot of room. Your legs cramp most nights because you haven't been able to get up. And given your experience and given your lifestyle, you're a very active man. It is not like you to be sedentary.
Indeed, but I'm used to conditions which are less than luxurious, shall we say. certainly, my experiences during the conflict were in some ways worse than this, and at times considerably worse than this.
It's true. You're not being shelled.
I'm not ankle deep in mud. There's not disease rife. There are not bodies around me crawling with rats. Thankful for small mercies, and I'm resting assured that my companions outside are doing whatever is in their power to effect my release. So if the guards are not paying any heed to me when I try to speak to them, then I will just have to bide my time. In a 4x6 cell, I really don't have much room to move because I'm quite a big man, so I'm probably having to curl up when I sleep. I spend a certain amount of time looking up out of the small barred window into the sky outside, trying to figure out what might be happening out there. And I will, I'll exercise as best I can, because I know that if I do allow myself just to kind of sit and do nothing, then my thoughts will start circling in on themselves, and that's not good for anyone. So I'll have an exercise regime that will be accommodated by this small cell that I've got. I will fold my sheets neatly in what I believe to be the morning based on the light outside, just accept that I'm here for the foreseeable until something happens that changes the situation.
Not sure what time of day it is, but at some point a guard comes in and you hear at the far end of this space, you can tell it's far because it didn't come your way, you hear another cell door open and then be slammed shut.
Seems I have a companion. I'll wait till they hear the guard, if he says anything, or if not, wait to hear if he goes away again.
He does eventually go away. You hear some words exchanged in Italian. The two voices definitely differ. One is not as rough as the other.
Both male, yeah.
Definitely both male.
Am I able to pick out any words that I might be able to figure out the meaning of? Just on a very, very, very basic level?
No.
Like a name or a place name or something, anything like that?
I guess you'd probably pick out the phrase, you stay here.
Okay.
You get that right before the cell area is accented by the bars being shut.
I'll wait until the guard has passed by and left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take it from where I am, I can't actually see the other cell. I can't see its inhabitant.
No, sadly not. You don't have any visual on him.
Okay, I'll listen. Okay, just for a few minutes, I'll just sort of stand there quietly and listen. See if I can hear, get any sense or impression of the mood of the person in the other cell.
You stand there for a couple of minutes and you get a couple of things sensory that come in. One, whomever is down at the other end definitely smokes. The tobacco smell comes in with it.
Right. And they've allowed them cigarettes in here as well, haven't they? What have they taken off me as well?
They've essentially taken from you everything which could be useful at a first glance, right? So you still got the majority of your clothes. I say that in the sense that they would take your jacket but leave your shirt.
Okay.
They would take and go through all of the jacket pockets and vest pockets. The people who've placed you in the cell haven't done you any disservice or disrespect personally.
I've not been beaten up or anything like that.
You've not been beaten, no. But you've been roundly ignored by everybody.
Okay. So have they taken my things like my pipe and my matches and that kind of thing off me?
Certainly.
Okay, so I'm wondering now how this other fella has lit a cigarette.
You hear his exhale. And the additional sound of what sounds like someone sitting down.
I'm going to risk. Hello? You speak English?
You hear another exhale. Yes, I speak English.
Does this sound like a native Italian voice speaking English with an accent, or?
It's hard to say. He doesn't sound like he's native English. He sounds like he might be maybe from the surrounding Eastern. He could be from Yugoslavia. He could be from.
Okay, so European, kind of, I guess, Eastern Europeans, roughly. I don't suppose you've got a smoke there.
Yeah, I've got a few.
Aye, well, they took mine off me and they threw me in here.
Yeah, they do that to people that they take everything from them.
Well, I take it your crime was that you've been accused of is less severe then.
Yes, but my crime is against the church too, at least in their eyes.
Oh, how so? If you don't mind me asking, I don't wish to pry. I've been on my own in here for nearly a week.
I got caught stealing something.
Oh, well, something for my church then.
You could say.
Aye, well. Getting caught, that's the thing, isn't it?
You hear a match strike. And then you hear something almost unbelievable. You hear a cell door open, and you hear footsteps afterwards. And a man no taller than, say, the professor, who's got raven black hair and tan skin. His hair is a little long, probably for what most would pass as acceptable.
A bohemian.
Yeah, he stands in front of you for just a second there in the darkness, and you see his face illuminate a little bit from the embers of his cigarette. And then he passes you one through lit through the bars.
I will take it from him. Well, that's a neat trick.
I come and go as I need.
Well, you're a talented fellow.
Not talented enough to not get caught.
Well, it seems that's not really too much of an impediment to you.
Why did you kill the priest?
You're assuming I did.
It's in all the papers. Prove it otherwise.
Ah, well, if it's in the papers, it must be true, eh? James Robert Fraser at your service, sir. I'll hold out my hand.
He shakes it. He's fairly wiry in his frame, but he's got a solid handshake, that's for sure.
And I shall wait for a moment to see if he reciprocates by telling me a name.
My name is Milo.
Oh, it's good to meet you, Milo. So tell me, what are they saying about me in the papers?
They said that you must have tried to rob the priest or something like that. And then you stabbed him.
Really? Oh, interesting. What do you know of the judicial system in this country?
It's a farce.
No innocent until proven guilty, eh?
No. You're a foreigner, that's your problem.
Well, this is true. I am indeed. And for some reason, they don't seem to have afforded me the courtesy of a foreign national by bringing me a representative from the British Embassy, from the consulate.
Have you asked?
They don't listen to me when I speak to them.
You didn't ask in Italian.
Well, consulate, embassy.
Maybe they don't like you.
I suspect that might be the case. They seem to have already made their minds up about me. They haven't asked me. They haven't even asked me whether I did it or not.
Oh, they don't care.
So it seems. I wonder if they have even listened to the old woman.
What old woman?
The woman who was in the church when it happened.
I'll be out tomorrow morning.
Hmm.
They'll let me go.
You seem very confident of that.
I should be.
Your friends outside who can oil the wheels, so to speak.
No. My brother runs a police station.
Oh, well.
He smiles.
Well, I'm surprised you're even in here in the first place, then.
Oh, it's all an illusion. Just like law.
I see. Just going through the motions, eh?
Well, Mussolini, he needs a good relationship with the church. And so when bad things happened in the church, it has to appear as if the church and Mussolini work together. If crimes go free, then the church and its army rebels against Mussolini.
I see. What are your feelings about Il Duce?
He's powerful, but not as powerful as the Pope.
Well, there certainly is a power in the Vatican. That's very true. That's very true indeed. So tell me, if you don't mind me asking, what is it that you stole from the church?
Post-war life has not been very easy for us. Finding work has not been easy. The church has many fineries. Things that sit and wait and gather dust when they could be feeding people.
I see. Gold chalices and so forth.
Cups and plates.
So you steal to survive?
When it's necessary.
Hunger will make a man take actions that he might not, in the normal course of events, have considered.
What do all those people do when they're hungry for freedom, James?
Well, in my experience, first the thing they start doing is grumbling. And then the grumble turns to a shout. And then the bricks start flying.
I'll get you a pillow.
Well, that's very, very kind of you.
He walks down a couple of stalls and you hear him fish inside one of them, and then he comes back with like a pillow and a small blanket.
Thank you. You have a family.
No, thank God I never married. Nor...
No, nor I.
I'll see you in the morning.
It's been good to speak to somebody this evening. I felt a little isolated here from my friends, from the outside world.
You have friends outside?
I have traveling companions, aye.
At a local hotel, or...?
Aye, they're in Trieste, aye. I would imagine they're somewhat concerned about me. Hopefully, you know, making inquiries.
Would you like me to send them a message?
If you wouldn't mind, I would be grateful of that. Can I make a psychology roll on this
sure.
guy just to
Go
see if
right
I think
ahead.
He is some trustworthy individual? That's 38 out of 52. That's a success.
Well, trustworthy is a really interesting word. You don't know that you would trust Milo with your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't seem like he's intending on doing any harm to you.
But what he's told me so far, I'm not getting a sense that he's trying to deceive me, trick me. He's not been planted here in order to try and extract information out of me under false pretenses.
You do not get that sense, no.
Mm. My companions are staying at Hotel de la Ville. The Fitzroy party.
More than most can say in Italian prisons.
Could you also tell them that Mr. Thompson's little brother has secreted himself away where I was found?
Certainly.
They'll know what it means.
Very well.
And tell them I am not been harmed. I'm well. Not to worry. But there is one other thing, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them that the man from Paris is here. He is responsible.
I will do so.
The old man. They'll know what I mean.
Hmm. Good night, James.
Good night to you. I look forward to seeing you again in the morning.
He walks slowly back to his own cell, opens the door, and you hear it shut. That night you sleep very peacefully, with the small comfort of a pillow and blanket makes all the difference in this cell. And it might be the first restful night you've had in several nights. So, speaking of our investigators at the Hotel de la Ville, you have had 5 days, roughly speaking, to think, consider, plan. I'd like to get an idea from each of you, right? But before I do, I want to lay out some things that have happened already before we think these are things that would happen without an ability to change what happens. The next day, the local papers here publish a story. They name James Robert Fraser as the murderer of a local priest in Trieste. They take a picture of him and they publish it in the newspaper. That happens without the ability for anyone to change it at all, as it is not under your control. When that happens, later on that day, the staff here at the hotel visit you, Lady Elizabeth, and they attempt to confirm Mr. Fraser in the paper is the same one that was your assistant, your personal assistant. The question I have for you then is, do you confirm that?
Well, there doesn't seem much point in denying it, considering his picture's in the paper and he was the one who made the arrangements, so that would be rather silly. Also, there's not that many Scotsmen named James Robert Fraser in town, in Trieste, I assume.
One would hope, unless he's got a body double running around.
Well, that would be convenient.
No such luck. So the hotel doesn't ask you to leave. They don't make your stay any more uncomfortable, but they do let you know that should the authorities request access to his room, to his things, that they will be required to give them over. That request happens later that night when the police arrive at the hotel. They acquire Mr. Fraser's things. What I would like to know is, since you have several hours in between those things happening, and the presumption that they may come, would you take any care to alleviate his possessions of things you did not want the Italian authorities to get a hold of?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Leave anything innocuous, because obviously you don't want a completely empty room. That would look suspicious. But anything that they shouldn't have access to, or that Mr. Fraser might need later, will be spread around the various rooms of the group. I'll get Simon to help if I need to.
Okay. Yeah, you would probably want to turn over his firearms to...
Oh, yes.
But you also notice that his pistol is missing. The revolver that he keeps on him is missing and is not amongst the things that you collect.
File that away for future reference. Did the paper say the priest was stabbed or shot?
The papers at this point do not say how the priest died.
Okay.
They say he was murdered.
Okay. So I don't know if then the police would have found the gun at the scene, or if Fraser took it into the church with him or not. So I'm just going to make a note to have Simon have a look for it later if we need to.
Okay.
But I also would tell Simon that the gun is missing, because we need to keep track of such things.
Absolutely. So yeah, you give the Italian police essentially a bag of luggage full of clothes and likely no additional accoutrement that James might have kept with him. You're not giving them any rings or watches or anything sacred to him. I wouldn't assume anyway. Okay. So the police do visit and they collect them. They don't do so necessarily respectfully at first. Once the staff tell the police that you're a titled person, they change a little bit of how they direct themselves around you, but not in some sort of stiff English manner. They sort of internalize a lot of their commentary in Italian, which you pick up on some of, and it essentially boils down to, we don't know why she had him kill the priest. It's an immaterial. It's not important. It'll come out later. We'll figure it out later. Just get his things and let's leave.
Oh, dear.
You're not certain that they are all what you would say tip-top policemen either. But that's not the first time you've encountered that in Italy either.
Well, no, they're not English, so of course they're not.
And so I guess I want to go to each one of you and just give me a sort of condensed version of what plans you've made or what things you're spending your days doing. When last we left, we knew that you were going to have Winkelmann's diary translated. That would take place during this time. So it is something that we can say, yes, you go and do, and it is done, and I can give you that information on the backside of this.
So other than having the journal translated, I would be trying to find out where the nearest consulate or embassy is and get in contact with them, because with my title and everything, that's something that I can hopefully move some rocks, so to speak, out of the way faster than, say, the professor could, or Fraser himself, if he tried to contact them or had the police contact them, which I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing there isn't a full-blown embassy in Trieste. I don't know if there'd be a consulate or not.
There is a consulate, and you contact them.
Okay.
They assure you that they will begin working on your behalf as quickly as they can, and they would ask you to give a statement to them to give them any sort of information, because they warn you that with the Italian police's story and the shocking nature of the crime, if the only other opinion is, you know, Mr. Fraser's, it's going to be very tough for them to secure any sort of early release or any sort of into custody, because, you know, there's been a murder.
Right. So I'd give them a character statement, which I assume I'm used to having to do, not to police necessarily, but just in general for retainers and servants and so on. And just we're touring, and it is my opinion he likely got caught up in something that happened while he was just walking around the church, that he's a very devout and religious man and would never ever under any circumstances do any such horrible things.
So they, not to dampen your spirits in any way, but uh-huh. they do point out that the church that's here is not Church of England, that it's a Catholic church, and so that they're that since it
not Church right, of Scotland that, either.
Since Italy is a very religious country, they they're going to try to head off any sort of religious coloring of this story one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. So I would just point out that we've been touring, we've been traveling, and we have interest in older buildings and things, and so he was visiting the church just to have a look, and I really don't see how this happened. It must be an awful mistake.
Yes. So they take your statement and they tell you that they're going to begin working on his behalf with the local officials and do what they can to at least get him into a place where they can visit him and get his story. Right? Get his version of what has happened. And so I'd like to move then to Professor Courtney and have him discuss with us what he has spent 5 days doing. And we're going to just hope that he won't burn down existence while he does it.
Well, maybe twice, but other than that, I'm probably okay. So I think Richard, I mean, there are some obvious things that Richard would do. So I think he will be going over his notes with regard to the device to try and work out what's, you know, what these lenses do. I mean, I think he started to use enough of them for, you know, a number of journeys, and he's hopefully going to reach some conclusions on some things by sort of cross-referencing his notes. Whether or not he does, I don't know, but...
All right, so why don't you give me a hard intelligence roll? I think you have, we'll say practiced with the pink lens enough that you could probably at this point begin to make a educated guess as to what it was.
Ooh, right. That's not a particularly good roll, but Richard has a sharp-witted pulp talent.
Ooh, there we go.
So he gets a bonus die, I believe, if that counts for this one. Yeah,
absolutely. Another tens die.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Fucking another 90.
Okay, so what's the intelligence?
Richard's intelligence is 60. And 98 is a definite fail.
It is. It's not a fumble, which is good. Of course, this is about the time that I will ask if you'd like to push the roll. Or...
I should do, really.
You could commit to another day of study, and I would afford you another roll of it.
I mean, he's got very little else to do. He's got a couple of other things he wants to do, but I mean, this is top on the list.
Well, we'll say that this is likely after whatever morning exercises that you have with Maggie.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
You do have a role to fill here.
58, that's a success.
Okay. So you go back through all of your notes, both mental and physical notes. After a few days, you come to the theory that the pink lens is a lens which allows you to look backward through time.
Okay.
And with the blue lens identified as something that gives microscopic detail, and the green lens as something that is identified as something what could be, meaning some sort of premonition, likely extrapolated through mathematical computations. It's the only way it becomes believable for you. There are really only a few other lenses.
There are. He started to play with yellow and he thinks that's got something to do with distance.
I think that that's a theory. That's a theory you have.
Excellent. So I think one of the other things that Richard definitely wants to do is he encouraged Maggie to take some photos, which haven't been developed yet, if I remember correctly. So at some point, he's probably going to be, I don't know, having dinner or lunch or probably a spot of tea. And the photos. Yes. Yes, I must ask Maggie about the photos. He's going to make a mental note about that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may be interested in trying out his other device, which I think he thinks is going to be a kinder thing. He won't offer, but if he's inevitably approached, he'll try and switch it out for,
Okay.
The evil, harsh, wooden thing.
Yeah, so speaking of, we'll go to Miss Bellinger now. I know she has more than those things her morning calisthenics on her mind. I'm sure that there are other things that you would like to get to. So over the time that that Mr. Fraser is been locked up, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm going to do a couple of things that may seem selfish in light of the situation that's going on with Mr. Fraser. I do want to get those photos of Venice developed. That's top of my list. Maggie would also probably be making some notes, working on her travel book. She has to catch up on a couple of cities. But really what she's doing is killing time, because she's 23 in a foreign country and her traveling companion has just been locked up, and there's only one thing Maggie can do, and it's call her dad.
Okay. That's, calling home, actually calling transcontinental, technically isn't available for several years.
I will telegraph home.
That's different.
I will get a hold of my father.
Okay. So you endeavor to get a hold of him via some means. We'll say that you are able to. What are you going to communicate with him?
I don't know how to help in this situation. And not that my father would anyways. I mean, he's an investment banker. But any advice that he can give me on how to help my friend, any strings far-reaching that he may have to pull, he probably doesn't. But I'm young and kind of scared in a foreign country, so I want to call my dad. Or not call my dad. I want to get a hold of my dad.
Totally understandable. So I guess my question to you lastly would be, what do you... You said that you tell him he's been jailed.
Yep.
Do you tell him why he's been jailed?
Yeah, because it's falsely accused.
Certainly. That he has been falsely accused of murder.
Yes, and I would never associate with the kind to commit murder.
Of course not. Never.
Nor would I commit it myself.
No.
Daddy.
Perish the thought. So you do get a message back with him from him, probably near the end of the time that you're there. And he counsels you in very few words to come home. Because Europe is too dangerous.
That does not make Maggie feel better.
I just out of character, I know that if I got a message from one of my sons who was dead, I'm in Scotland and one of my best friends is in jail, he's been put up a murder, what do? Come home.
No, I know. Yes. I know that that's exactly what he would say too. Yeah.
Plus you're his daughter, so there's always that too, that he's got, you're in a strange country, you're a super young girl, you should be here and you should be not what are you mixed up in? I can only imagine he's drinking himself just to, in a complete stupor.
Clearly under the horrible influence of my Aunt Edith.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah, well, we'll get to her. Don't worry. She's always around somewhere. So I would ask, for frivolity's sake, are you going to continue to engage with the professor on your morning calisthenics?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I think that's important to have, you know.
Mm-hmm. I need a quick pick-me-up in the morning.
Don't we all?
Sometimes a nooner.
So I think at one of these junctures, Richard will probably offer some sort of new mechanical development that he's created.
The question is he going to offer, or as what he previously said, sounded like he was just going to switch it out and see what happened.
Yeah, I know. I think that's really a question for the professor. Is he just going to hot swap like it's a RAID hard drive, or is he going to...
I really want to know how you swap a paddle for a vibrator without her noticing.
Oh, no, I think she'll notice.
Oh, I'll notice.
I think she'll notice. Especially back then, the vibrator is going to be super loud. Super loud.
It's like a chainsaw.
It is. It is. Are you going to kickstart it, Professor? That's what I want to know.
Well, whoa. Hang on a minute. There's a couple of things here. First of all, Richard has invented an electronic device, and it sends current through the skin. It does not vibrate. Richard did not manage to get hold of a motor from a radio. Yeah, it's just...
So it will be a shocking development.
A shocking development.
A shocking vibrator.
It's not a vibrator.
Okay, so yeah, I guess if he is going to switch from said paddle provided by Miss Bellinger to something that is that places electrocurrent into the skin for stimulation of the nerve endings.
That's precisely it. Yeah.
I think there's a there's got to be an electrical repair role or some sort of mechanical. Where's our mechanical use role? I want to know how well you pull this off, if at all.
Do you think we should have Paul watch to make sure that it goes okay?
Well, Richard will definitely ask first. He's not going to... Obviously, this isn't something that you're going to beat somebody with, so it's just a kind of, you know, two little electrodes on the skin. It'll make it sort of twinge and tingle, and hopefully that'll have the same effect as... or a better effect than beating somebody, which sounds rather painful and nasty.
And you've got it. You've got the mechanics of it mostly... hold out inside of a wooden bedpost. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's normal. Totally normal. Yeah. Give us a roll, Richard. See how it goes.
Yes, all of the skills are the same. So it could be physics, could be electrical repair or mechanical repair at all 40. I don't want to use these cursed green dice. They've been giving me so many problems recently. Hang on.
This is a roll I hope you have to push.
Let's use the cursed green dice because the other ones have just fallen on the floor. Oh, I don't believe it. 02.
Oh, my. Miss Bellinger, make a constitution roll.
I can certainly do that. Ooh, fumble.
Ooh.
99 over 45.
Fantastic.
Oh, no. We are quite a pair.
So, Richard, you swap this. You swap this in. And... you work very smoothly, right in time, right between the standard meter of the paddle application. And when you utilize this new device which you've created, you apply it to the skin at the exact location it needs to be applied, right? So you have a bit of the back of her thigh. And Miss Bellinger, when this is applied to you, there is a surge inside your body, in sort of your lower end. And your abdomen tightens. All the muscles very quickly tighten very hard. And you get a wondrous rush of heat in your chest. And you have to take an enormously deep breath. And you pass out.
Richard will, Maggie, are you okay?
She's unresponsive, Richard.
Oh my. Richard will run to the bathroom and get a cold flannel.
All right. What are you going to do with it then?
Use it to cool his head because he's, put it on Maggie's forehead.
Okay. You put it, you realize that her whole upper body is very flush. Very. Her breathing is rapid, but she's not conscious. It's a very strange sensation. And her legs are twitching, sort of on and off. It's very concerning.
Richard's heard about this sort of thing happening. So he's actually going to try and reapply the device with the intention of trying to sort of undo or reset whatever.
Certainly. Go right twitching. Ahead. Give me another roll.
You're not going to believe this. 05.
Oh, so no constitution rolls necessary from you, Miss Bellinger. You do come to. But let me be clear.
Yeah, but am I awake?
Right. You come to.
Ah, Maggie, you're okay. That's good. That's very good.
Richard, what was that? What happened?
I don't know. You seem to have some sort of reaction to it. Although the way it works, as I explained, it sort of makes the muscles twitch and it should deliver the same effect, but without the pain. Without the physical damage. I don't really understand.
Do I feel? I mean, I imagine it was painful.
You feel two dots on the, like, you sort of unsubconsciously reach back to the area of behind your, on the back of your thigh where things are a little painful. And there are two definitive dots on your skin, raised bumps, and there's some soreness there. And then your brain begins to process a lot of the other endorphins and chemicals that have been released.
Yeah.
And you feel, well, very good.
Richard, I think this warrants further experimentation in the future.
Yes, but we should maybe lay you down before we try, just in case it. I was worried you might fall and hit your head there for a moment.
Yes, next time we'll proceed on the bed. Then I won't get hurt.
Yes.
Soft.
That's wise.
So, Simon, tell me about your 5 days spent. Are they going to mostly be focused still studying Greek and focused on trying to piece together whatever burned note you have from Dr. Smith's office? Or are you thinking about a jailbreak and how you get your friend out of jail?
Well, Simon is going to be doing both. Probably at least 2 days. He's going to be walking around Trieste during daylight hours, even if it's overcast or not, understanding it's winter. He has his little book that he does his Greek with, as in his notebook that he writes in. And he's going to be drawing a sketch of the jail and the surrounding streets and buildings, see what kind of buildings they are around it. And trying to determine, if necessary, best areas to put dynamite to blow out walls.
So you are a miner, son. You know exactly how these things work, especially when it comes to explosives and especially when it comes to underground spaces. So Trieste being so close to the bay actually helps you, because most of the sewers here and the drainage here is visible, right? The entire ground is tilted at an angle to go down towards the coast, which again plays to your advantage. And you know that there are caves in the area, obviously. You took a somewhat long dirt nap in one just a little while ago. But you believe that it would be possible for you to get to a nearby basement or nearby sewer access point and place a proper charge. But what you need to know is, what corner of the building do they have Jim in? So that's really, when you get there probably after about a day or so of planning, and you realize, okay, yeah, I got to know where this guy's sleeping at, because I can't blow my friend up.
And Simon is going to relay this to Lady E, since I am guessing that at some point, at least one of us is probably going to have to visit him in prison, and we can discuss that in a meeting at some point during these 5 days, because I understand that we want to get him out without blowing it up, but I want to keep the option open if absolutely necessary. And be ready for it. And then in the evenings, I will be working on the Greek.
Okay, so you have demolitions, yes?
I do.
Give me a demolitions roll. And this is basically a planning roll. And this is for you to plan out how things are going to go if you have to use it. And if you succeed on the planning roll, what I will give you is advantage on the demolitions roll should you have to make it.
Okay. That is an 80. Due to the dangerous situation, I am not going to push the roll. And I do not have the luck to spend. If I spend another day on it, would I get another roll?
Yeah, absolutely. It's basically planning. Like, you would know by the... What's your demolition's 40?
30.
30. Okay, so... Yeah, you could spend another day on it. I'll say this, though. If you spend a couple of days on it and both rolls fail, you won't know whether or not you've planned right or wrong. That's the problem.
And that's a 46. No.
Okay, no 16 luck to spend?
No luck whatsoever to spend.
Ooh, fun. So you have a plan idea. You're not really sure whether or not it'll work. You would say that it's half a plan at this point.
And the other thing I'd like to do is speak to Maggie at some point. She has indicated in the past that she does not have skill with a pistol, but skill with a rifle. And does she have a... I'm going to ask her if she has a rifle available.
Well, there's not much room in my dress for one.
I understand, Miss Maggie, but do you actually have one on this trip?
Oh, no, I do not.
If necessary, do you wish to have one available?
Oh, I think that would be fine.
I'm going to reach into... Well, I'm not going to take it out yet, but I'm going to let her know that there's an Enfield available, if that would be satisfactory.
You're not really sure of weapon brands, but...
Sure.
Sure.
Yes, I suppose I'm expected to carry it in my luggage then, or...
No, it'll stay in our luggage for right now in the safe spot with Mr. Thompson, but if we need to do anything here in Trieste before we can get out of this damn country, it's available.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you.
It might be better than me sliding a pistol across the floor.
So, on day 4, so for you, Fraser, this would be yesterday. On day 4, your interpreter returns with the diary. They have painstakingly translated it from Greek to readable English. And they find that it's a rather fascinating tale. But they hand you, Lady Elizabeth, they hand you the diary pieces.
Thank you very much.
And so now you all have that to view. So if you would, why don't we have a couple people read this into the story record? So that way the audience has the opportunity to experience Winkelmann's diary as well.
Winkelmann's diary in ancient Greek dialect. 3rd of May. The tablet of indecipherable is correct, and I have travelled to Regensburg and spoken with the things there. They have compelled me to carry an amulet to another enclave near Trieste in Austria. I am warned not to approach without the amulet, lest I be destroyed. They need this amulet for some dark plan of their own. I fear it will aid them in releasing that which they serve from its frozen Arctic prison. 15th of May. I curse those beasts, and I curse myself for seeking them. Each night the dreams return, and I get no peace. I do not know how to go on. The art which has been my life is dross, and my fellows but painted masks on grinning skulls. I wear my mask too and talk of art, but beauty is gone from the world and my words are ashes in the wind. The 1st of June. Arrived safely in Trieste. The dreams that have haunted me since Regensburg continue. My one hope is that after I have handed on the amulet, the dreams will stop. 2nd of June. Met a native, Arcangeli, a fellow who promises some diversion. More importantly, though, certain signs and words he gives me to believe that he knows of those entities and can guide me to their lair.
3rd of June. I cannot trust Arcangeli. He is asked to see the amulet as a sign of my appointment as courier, but his manner is sly, and I suspect that he would prefer to carry the amulet himself. I have stalled him, but without his help I cannot reach them. 5th of June. In my despair, I weakened and made the ritual and spoke with the thing that came, and learnt from whence it came. The beasts know I am here with their amulet, and tell me to bring it with me to their lair, or incur their wrath. I am sick to the heart. 6th of June. I managed to give that rogue Arcangeli the slip and have hidden the amulet. I am certain now that he intends to steal it, as I came upon him searching my room. I shall have to wait until I am no longer watched and make my own way to the caverns at Adelsberg to deliver the amulet. I dare not go there without it. 7th of June. Arcangeli continues to plague me, and I cannot recover the amulet without his notice. I have discovered that he, along with other locals who serve those beasts, attempt to steal every occult item which passes this way, and make thereof offerings to please them. I fear that they will find the amulet, denying me the opportunity to fulfill my appointed duty, and that these dreams will never cease. End of diary.
Thank you both very much. And so, as the sun rises on the 6th day, Lady Elizabeth, you are awoken by a card being slipped under your door.
I go pick it up. Normally that would be Fraser's job, but he's not here, so...
That's very true. And hasn't been. And this time away, I think, for the both of you, has been likely a bit of a struggle for you as well in that regard. So many things that you are used to, your capable assistant doing, he has not been able to do. The note in, we'll say, very slowly written English reads, Fraser alive, doing well. And then there is a second line, which again is a little shaky written. It says, Mr. Thompson's little brother has been secreted away. And then it says, man from Paris did this.
Oh my. So I'll poke my head out the door and see if there's anyone going down the hallway or anyone who could have left this.
You do not see a soul in that hallway.
Well, I'm going to go to Simon first, especially because it mentions Mr. Thompson.
All right.
So I knock at Simon's door. What time is it? Is it a decent hour of the morning?
It's probably 7 a.m.
Oh, normal getting up time for me. That's fine.
Bright and early.
So I'm just going to go knock on Simon's door. I have learned how to knock now.
Simon answers the door. He's got his trousers and suspenders on, and he's not fully dressed up, but he's decent. Morning, lady. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Mr. Griffith. I have received a notice this morning that might interest you. And I hand him the card.
Yeah, it's a plain white card with some, we'll say, reasonable English scrawled onto it. It does draw your attention that Mr. Thompson is referred to, but only as Mr. Thompson's little brother.
Lady E, I'm thinking that this Mr. Thompson's little brother, being who Mr. Thompson is, might be the missing piece from Mr. Fraser's luggage.
Yes, I had rather the same thought. So at least we know the black shirts don't have it, but, well, I don't know who sent this. I found it under my door, but someone must have spoke to Mr. Fraser, considering the references. And also, our French friend is in town. I would assume he's somehow behind the predicament Mr. Fraser is currently in.
Do you think it's safe to inform Miss Maggie about our French friend? Because of her wishing to fly last time.
Well, I think we all need to be aware, at least.
Now, that's my concern, is we need... I don't want her to have any relapse, let's say.
Well, if she sees him, she sees him. Knowing he's in town or not isn't going to make much of a difference. We all need to be on the same page, so to speak.
Actually, I was wanting to speak to you, Lady E, if you don't mind, on one thing.
Yes, Mr. Griffith?
I think one or more of us should pay a visit to the station. I believe that we are allowed to at least ask questions, and if we know where Mr. Fraser is being kept inside the station, it could help with any extreme measures that may be required.
I see what you mean. I was rather hoping to be able to pay a visit along with a member of the consulate, but if that is not possible, then I suppose I can go, preferably with someone else along and a translator. I don't think they will accept my English.
Could we have someone from the consulate accompany me and you? The reason why I'm asking is I could probably pass as some sort of chauffeur or anything like that if it came down to it.
I look at how big and bulky Mr. Griffith is, and oh, could you now?
And the other thing is, Mike, out of character, I'm not trying to jump to conclusions since we know what happened last time, but thinking of secreting, the only thing that I could think of would be the church for Simon, unless they're, because he, if otherwise he would have been caught with it, correct?
That's likely. I think it's pretty well public knowledge within the group that he was heading towards the church. Everyone knew that.
And we saw him being arrested from the church. So he did. It's not like he went elsewhere.
To your knowledge, no.
Lady E, I'm also thinking that it's entirely possible that the little brother is somewhere near the church. Perhaps we go to see Mr. Fraser and ask if the others are able to swing by the church.
I suppose that's possible, although I'm not sure we would be able to get in. I don't know if they still count it as a crime scene or not. It also might look somewhat suspicious. But also, if our French friend is about, do we really want Miss Bellinger and the professor going in there by themselves?
Point. Maybe we should all go and just be careful at some point, but it can wait.
Yes, at some point, but I rather think we should meet with Mr. Fraser first, if at all possible.
Absolutely, ma'am. Give me about 20 minutes and I'll be ready.
Perfect. So, on that note, I'm going to call the story portion of this to a close, but we are going to lead off Act 4 with an investigator improvement scenario. So we're going to go around the table as we always like to do, and we're going to see if we can improve some of our investigators. So what I'll ask, thank you much. So Mr. Fraser, played by Spike, please lead us away, not into temptation, sir, but into the glory that is higher skill rolls.
Well, as you well know, Michael, I can resist anything except temptation. I have 4 skills to potentially improve. Now, the first being my first aid skill, which I used successfully, although rather temporarily, on a certain Father Ricci in the cathedral in Trieste.
Poor Father Ricci.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And would you believe it? I have a first aid of 42. I just rolled a 43.
Well, we are going to raise that first aid by 7 points to for you. So
lovely. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good number to be at now as well, to minimize potential fumbles.
That is very true. The next skill, sir.
Next skill is listen, which I believe is also in the church. And that again is a fail, 63 over 56.
Oh, fantastic. I'll add 4 points to your list.
Okie dokie. Which will take me up to 60. Next one for me is psychology, 52.
Mm.
74.
We'll add a full 10 points to your psychology.
Ooh. Okay.
Well, that's you get rather psychological much. There, staying in jail.
I've been putting myself into other people's shoes and trying to analyze. I've been watching the walls, working out what they would do. What are these bars thinking? Anyway, just cut all that gibberish. Spot hidden. My spot hidden is 86. So that is not a. That is a 13. I did not improve my spot hidden.
That's too bad. That's close for you.
I know. It'd be nice to get that to 90.
Mm,
with all agreed. The wonders that would bring with it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to roll luck?
I'm going to roll your luck.
Oh, okay.
But only after you roll your luck. So yes, please roll luck.
Yes, well, that's what I meant, yes. 42, I'm looking to fail.
You are.
20.
42 is a good, I mean, you've got good decent luck scores.
Do you know, from being quite luck impoverished, I'm actually quite healthy for it compared to some of those.
I'm going to give you an additional 13 points of luck.
Wow.
So take it, enjoy it while it lasts.
Thank you very much indeed. So 42 and 13 is 55, if I'm not very much mistaken. I think that's me.
All right. Wonderful. We will turn to Rena, Lady Elizabeth, and we will sort out your skills.
Yes. So I only have two because everything else that I passed... or that I rolled, I either failed or I passed by spending luck. So first one's library use, which is at 80. That's a 96.
Good. That's 7 more points of library use.
Very close to that 90. And then the other one is spot hidden, which is at 63. And that is 88.
All right. That is 4 more points there.
Okay, so at 67. And then luck, which is at 55 currently. I passed that, 28 under 55.
And that is 10 more points of luck for you.
Excellent. And so that's me.
Wonderful. At the end of the table, Giles playing Simon Griffith.
I only have 3. The first one is stealth, and I want to say, you know, I honestly can't recall when I'd used it. It was probably in the caverns, I think, when I melted into the shadows.
Yes, before melting down under the rocks.
And that's an 86 over 65.
Oh, fantastic. So we will add 6 more points to your stealth. It could be useful.
That makes me very happy. Next is throw, and that's 36 over 30. That's wonderful because that's less of a chance of screwing up a dynamite throw. And last is science geology, which I also believe was in the caverns. And that's a 52 under 56, so nothing.
Ah, very well. Luck for me, sir. So the nice part about this is if you have no luck, this is really easy to fail.
So I only have to roll 100?
Right.
That's a 4.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. So presuming you have no luck to spend?
Correct.
We will roll luck for you. That's not bad. You get 15 points of luck.
It won't save me, but it'll allow me to make some of those other rolls, like demolitions.
That's true. That's true. Very good. All right. Miss Bellinger, played by our very own Miranda.
Yes, I believe I have three. I had to go back through my notes a little bit. Now, I did shoot someone in a cave and was filled with a false sense of confidence.
Mm.
So that led to some consequences as well, but we'll go for it. I rolled a 66 over 20.
Okay. So we will raise that skill by 9 points.
Oh, heck yeah. I have a listen, which was also likely in the caves or in a number of different areas, let's be honest. That one I passed.
All right.
And then a spot hidden. Most recently, I spot a hidden fake arm on a gentleman.
On a gentleman.
And that was a 73 over 41. So.
We will add 7 points to that.
Heck yeah.
And if that is your final skill, then just roll luck for
sure
you.
Sure is. Well, I don't have much in the way of luck, so.
Mm-hmm.
I fail regardless of what I roll then.
Yeah.
Because I have zero luck.
So because I can, which is always the best reason for anything,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend a hand of fate for you. And I'm going to add an additional die to this roll.
Okay.
Because you have a fan and they would like you to survive, it seems. So we'll placate them for a while. So Miss Bellinger, take 25 luck.
Oh, sweet. Oh, so close.
Yes, so very close.
Such a tease.
And now with that put to rest, we will turn to Professor Courtney, played by Martin.
So Richard doesn't have too much to roll for this time. He has.
There's got to be a mechanical repair roll in there somewhere.
Well, so he's got a spot hidden. So when he was in the caves, he managed to spot the Fezmen in the carriage behind.
Yep.
So that's 72, believe it or not. And he's got a spot hidden of 71. Perfect.
Boy, there's two rolls in this group that's been like that. So take 6 more points.
Blimey. So that's 77 now. And the next one. So I don't know how you want to do this. He made a couple of different roles. I think the first one he did should have been physics, with the kind of designing an electrical circuit for this thing way back when. Electrical repair sounds more like a putting a toaster together, but yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, I'll let it slide with physics. That's fine. No, physics is a decent skill for you.
As a success, so that's 36 under 40, so nothing to be done there.
All right.
And I don't know if I can blag an electrical repair role on the application of this thing to Maggie this time round, or whether you'd say that would be physics again.
No, I think electrical repairs. I think there's some definitive electrical work that you did.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, we have notes to back that up and scenes that where that was played out at.
Yeah, and that's cool. So it's a 53, so that's a fail.
And that is 8 more points.
Excellent. That's 48. And that's it for the skills.
Luck.
So Richard has 26 and rolled the lucky dice, but not so. 0-6, so it's a really good roll, but no good here.
No, okay. You stand pat and stay there at 26 then. No, I'm just kidding. Even a failure will give you some luck. Actually, not bad. 12 points.
Oh, that sounded like a D4, so, but I was wrong.
No, both rolls are D10. It's just a matter of how many D10s there are. So that will conclude this episode of our opening act of Act 4. So I want to thank you all for listening and thank the players for playing. And we will see you next week.